You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey continue with how to fight with your faith.
Okay? So you just got to let it. Something is just not worth fighting for. Your children are worth fighting for. The marriage is worth fighting for. The remote is not worth fighting for. Well, kind of is. Yeah, kind of is. Depending on what's on television. Okay? You got to know it's worth the fight. Pick up here 1 Samuel 17, verse 28. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why came thou here with whom? He's trying to despise him. With whom have you left those few sheep? Boy, you need to be home, take care of those few sheep in the wilderness. I know your pride, your naughtiness and of heart. You will come down that thou mayest see the battle. And I love verse 29. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? In other words, don't somebody need to fight them? This is going on too long now. And you got to realize that sometimes this is a cause worth fighting for. All of his family, his brothers, are down there. None of his brothers are fighting. Okay, David saw that if I win this battle, this is not just a personal victory. This is going to be a victory for my whole family. Y'all are catching this here. Somebody in the family got to decide this is worth fighting for. Everybody else has always just laid down in this battle. Everybody stayed poor. Everybody's marriage stayed messed up. Nobody ever owned a house. Everybody died of this disease. Somebody got to say, listen, this is worth fighting for, because when I win this battle, it's not just going to be for me. It's going to be for my whole family. Amen. When I was a kid, we used to say stuff like, you know, you and your whole generation. And y'all remember going up? Not just you and your whole generation. You got to know when you're fighting sometimes, this is for you and your whole generation, your whole family. Somebody got to fight this battle. Somebody got to decide the devil has just, this has been a stronghold in my family for long enough. Is there not a cause? Doesn't somebody need to stand up? Doesn't somebody need to take on this fight? Doesn't somebody need to have enough courage to say, no, this is going on long enough? Doesn't somebody need to believe that if God be for me, who can be against me? Doesn't somebody need to believe that the greater one lives on the inside of me? Somebody got to believe this at some point and fight this giant, whatever it may be. Is there not a cause? Verse 32. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. David is somewhere between the age of 14 and 17. And he basically stands up and says, have no fear, David is here. And all these soldiers and these men, who are these great warriors, and this boy says, have no fear. Y'all chill out. Hakuna Matata. I got this. Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant, he tells Saul, the king, shall go and fight with this Philistine. He made up his mind. He got his mind ready. And then the second thing, I'm going to show up for this fight. Everybody else is running, but I'm going to show up for this fight. Somebody say, I'm going to show up for this fight. Because you cannot win what? You cannot win what you will not face. All right? So David says, I'm going to show up. Look at verse 40. And he took his staff in his hand, and he chose him 5 smooth stones of the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. He went towards. He didn't run from him. He drew near. He didn't just wait for him, for the enemy to come to him. He made up his mind. I'm going to fight this battle. He got on the offensive, not just the defensive. He drew near to him. Something else the Lord, very practically, the Lord showed me here. He took 5 smooth stones. How many did he use? He used one. He used one, but he prepared for 5. Okay? Which tells me, if it looks like the first one don't work, I still got some more stones in my bag. Have you thrown away all your stones? Or do you still have some stones to say, I'm still willing to fight? I may have missed the first time, but I'm going to hit him the second time. I'm going to hit him the third time. Faith keeps showing up. So he went towards the back. Then the third thing I want to get to you tonight, we're still a week another, is that you got to rehearse your past victory. The way that David was able to win the battle against this giant, he rehearsed his past victories. Okay? When he goes to Saul to convince him why he's qualified, why he should allow him to do this, 1 Samuel 17, verse 37. He said, your servant kept my father's sheep, and there came a lion, and there came a bear, and took the lamb out the flock, and I went out after him. This is not my first time going out after something bigger than me. This is not my first time going out after something or someone that's trying to come against me. I went out after him and I smote him and delivered it, in this case, the lamb, out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by the beard. David's a bad mamma jamma. Okay. I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Verse 36, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear and this uncircumcised Philistine. If you have a paper Bible, been in this church anytime, you should have that underlined or circled or something. Uncircumcised Philistine. We know circumcision was removal of the foreskin of the male that God commanded Abraham to have all done to all the male born children on the eighth day. It was a sign of covenant that we are God's people. That God, we have certain promises from God. So when he says to him, when he calls him an uncircumcised Philistine, he's saying that enemy doesn't have a covenant with God. I have a covenant with God. Everybody say, I have a covenant with God. So he went out in assurance that I got a covenant. Covenant means I got a right. Covenant means if God don't bless anybody else, he's going to bless me. Covenant means I'm going to walk in favor over my enemy. Covenant means that God is on my side. I will not fear what man will do unto me. You have to have the assurance of your covenant. I'm in relationship with God. God loves me. I love him. I'm in covenant. Everybody say, we're in covenant. So he called him a non-covenant Philistine or uncircumcised Philistine. And look what he says. And this uncircumcised Philistine, again, you should have it highlighted or underlined or something, shall be as one of them. This victory will be as one of them. This fight will be as one of them. Which means that you got to keep a record of the fights you win. So when the enemy comes in, you say, oh, no, devil, this ain't the first time I've been through something like this. God did it before. He'll do it again. This shall be as one of them. Okay? So you can't get spiritual amnesia every time you go through something. Oh, God, what am I going to do? What you do last time? I can't believe this happened to me. Yeah, it's happening to you. You didn't believe the last thing happened to you, but you came through that. Amen. This shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he's going to deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said, go, and the Lord be with you. I don't really believe that was like a prayer. I don't believe it was like he was like really pronouncing a blessing over him. And God be with you, my son. He was saying, good luck. Go for it. If you crazy enough, watch it. None of his soldiers, and the king was supposed to be the most valiant one among them, leading everybody in the war. He said, go on. God bless you. You know, he probably thinking, boy, these young people can't tell him nothing today. You know, these kids, these teenagers, you can't tell them nothing. These millennials, you know, they just got their mind made up what they're going to do. But David went out in the assurance of his covenant. It wasn't just a blind battle. It wasn't just a haphazard battle. He went into the battle knowing his covenant. When you go into the battle, know your covenant. Know your rights. Everybody said, know your rights. Told you years ago, every time I say that, I would think about it. Years ago, long before they took the flag down, and a man tried to go up and take the flag down when it was downtown. And when they was arresting him, they had a man on the news. The man kept saying, I know my rats. I know my rats. R-A-T-S. I know my rats. You got to know your rats. Okay? You got to know you got a right to victory. You got a right to prosperity. You got a right to peace. Amen. You have a right to healing. Healing is the children's bread. I'm fighting for what I got a right for. I have a right to salvation of my children. I have a right to have a happy, wholesome marriage. So God expects us to remember what he's already done for us and not get amnesia every time we face a battle. Exodus 13:3. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, look, and Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you came out of Egypt. Remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, by the strength of the hand of the Lord, brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. Remember, the communion was about remembering. Remember your victory. Remember where God brought you out. We just celebrated, as we do on the first Sunday of every month, and you can do it anytime, communion. We're remembering the cross. We're remembering the battle that Jesus fought and won for us at Calvary. Are y'all listening to me? God said, remember this day. You, all of us should have something that when you get discouraged, when the devil tries to tell you it won't work, when it looks like it won't happen, all of us ought to have something, some kind of testimony in your praise report arsenal that you go back to. Come on, anybody got one of those? Okay. Pastor Mark, when you think about, you know, when what particular incidents or victories do you rehearse?
Oh, especially, I guess the most major one was when our children got in school. You know, we were believing God, and this was a long battle. I mean, it wasn't like a six-month battle. This was for multiple years. You know, but I knew what the word of the Lord, what he gave me regarding my child. And then when we got to the wire, when it looked like he was going to graduate, before that incident ever happened, the Lord gave me a word, and I never forget this. I was walking past his room. He said, remember the diploma. See the diploma on his wall. See the diploma on the wall. So I remember going to printing out a diploma and putting one up, you know, and keeping it as a visual for myself. And then when everything started to unravel, the word of the Lord came to, like, he came and gripped me and held me up and said, remember what I told you. And so I never forget when we went to the actual graduation ceremony and they handed us a certificate of attendance, which was not a diploma. I refused to even look at that because I remember the word of the Lord. And I never forget when we got the call and he went down to school regarding something. He came back and said, look what they gave me. They said, you know, they wanted to give this to me. And it was his diploma. So that was one of the biggest victories I ever, you know, that I keep. And I remind myself, against all odds, against the naysayers, against what they don't do, because this is something they didn't want to do. You know, your enemies will do something for you that they don't want to do. And they can't even figure out why they're not even doing this. Because they would say, we don't do this. We don't even know why we're doing this. I know why you're doing this, because I remember the word of the Lord and his promise. So that's one of the biggest victories I hold on to.
So, you know, as you go through things, you got to have something that anchors you in faith. Okay? Whether it's a story, it's an incident. If the first thing you need to start with, the fact that you saved. Look at your neighbor. Say, God even saved you. God even tell him. I mean, some of us in the natural, we were a little better than others. Some of us, we know there is a God. Ain't no way you should be sitting up in no church on a Wednesday night. Sunday maybe, definitely not no Wednesday. We were somewhere. We were in the mall about 2 weeks ago, and we walked into AT&T store. And again, when we walked, he said, "Where I know y'all from?" And then I said, "I don't know." She said, "You're a preacher." I said, "She's a preacher. I'm a husband." I just like doing things. Anyway, so we kept talking to her, and I said, and then finally she figured out. She kept looking, kept talking. She said, "Right direction, right direction. I watch y'all on TV." And I said, "Why don't you come maybe visit our church sometime?" She said, "Well, no, I work all, you know, I got to be here at 10 o'clock on Sunday." I said, "Well, we have a 7:30 a.m. service." She said, "Oh, okay, maybe I'll try that." So I said, "Well, we also have Wednesday." She said, "Oh, no, I don't go to church no Wednesday." Like you crazy. And she said, "Oh, no, I don't go to church no Wednesday." I'll be all right, Shanae. "We don't turn on Wednesday." You know God saved you here on a Wednesday. You got to be able to go back. Couple things I want to show you, and then we'll be done. Joshua 24. So God kept telling his people, remember this day. Remember the Lord God that brought you out of Egypt. Rehearse what God brought you out of. Whatever he brought you out of that you know nobody could bring you out but him, is reminded that whatever you're going through right now, he can bring you out of. He's a God who brings you out. He's a God who delivers you. Joshua 24, 6 through 13, he's rehearsing to the second generation who's going into the promised land. Okay. Verse 6, he says, God says, "I brought you out of Egypt." I'm going to jump around here for the sake of time. The end of verse 7, he says, "Your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt." Drop down to verse 10. "So I would not hearken to Balaam, therefore he blessed you still. So I delivered you out of his hand." In the verse 11, after he talks about the Perizzites, Amorites, Canaanites, Hittites, Girgashites, Hivites, Jebusites, he said, "I delivered them into your hand." Verse 12, "I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you." Verse 13, "And I have given you a land for which you did not labor. Cities which ye built not, and you dwell in them." God said, "Look what I've done for you. I've given you, I drove your enemies. You couldn't defeat those enemies. I drove them out from before you. I've given you land that you did not have to work for. I've given you cities you did not have to build. I give you houses you didn't qualify for. I gave you a car you didn't know how you got that car. Vineyards, olive yards, which ye planted not, do ye eat." God was reminding, "I'm the one who did this." Every time the devil tells you won't get out, remind the devil what God already did. Remember what he already brought you out, what he already blessed you with, that you know you didn't qualify for. It was nothing but the grace of God. Come on, anybody thank God for his grace? It wasn't because you were living holy. Glory to God. It wasn't because you were doing everything right. It wasn't because you were tithing. Because see, the truth of the matter is, some of y'all, it's hard to convince y'all that you should tithe because some of y'all, you just being blessed by the grace of God anyway. And you know it's not because what you're doing or not doing. It's just God's grace. Look at Joshua, back up Joshua 3. The first generation came across Jordan. I mean, the Red Sea. The second generation, God wanted them to have their own experience. So he said, they had to go across Jordan. Now, the Red Sea parted, water on either side. Jordan stopped. So it stopped all the water on one side. But God tells them this. He says, when they're going across Jordan, Joshua 4, "And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan." Look at David, say, "You're going to get clean passed over this thing." I like that. I'm going to be clean passed over. Clean passed me. Ain't going to be no remnants of this thing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God going to transform your life. You know, listen, transform, the Greek word is the same word we get the word metamorphosis or metamorpho. Watch this. When that caterpillar has been transformed into a butterfly, if we didn't learn and watch National Geographic and we didn't go to biology class and read books and all that, you would never know that a butterfly used to be a caterpillar. Come on now. Because when God changes your life and when God transforms you, you won't look like anything of what you used to be. When you completely transform, nobody would believe you were ever that. Glory to God. I'm prophesying to somebody. God getting ready to bring you clean Passover. Clean Passover, Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every out of every tribe of man. So there were 12 tribes. And command you them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. Okay? And then when he tells them why, drop on down to verse 20, Joshua 4. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Why we got all these stones here? Okay. That ye shall let your children know. You are required to let your children know where God brought you from. Are you hearing me? When God brings you up, when he delivers you, when he saves you, when he brings you clean Passover, when he brings you out of poverty, when he heals your body, when he solidifies your family, God expects you to let your children know God did this. It wasn't always like this. Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan before you, until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Start gathering stones from your victories. Whether you keep a journal, whether you just regularly tell people. See, I know some of y'all get tired of my stories, but all those stories are my stones, y'all. And y'all are my children. And all those stones, when I tell you the story about how we didn't know how I was going to pay get that house that I was supposed to have in order to have the job, and God gave me the idea after I prayed in tongues, that's a stone. Are you hearing me? When I tell you that I didn't know how we were going to get a building, and God told me what to do and how to negotiate the thing, that's a stone. When I tell you how God healed us and where he brought us from in our marriage and what he did for our children, those are stones. And that's what you fight with. You fight with the stones of your victories. Rehearse your victories. Sometimes you got to tell yourself. Now, you can't tell yourself all the time when other people are watching you, because they may put a coat around you. But you got to be listening. God, you did this thing before. This ain't the first time I've been through something like this. And I thank you, Lord God, you're going to do it again. Amen. And then even in the midst of being anything you're going through, you got to find a reason to give God praise. Hallelujah. You know, I tell y'all still to this day, you know, that this house, this one house I really need sold. It's been 4 years now. And I was complaining about that thing the other day. And this is what the Lord said to me. So you don't have the money to buy the things you don't need.
Every battle that you encounter may not be a physical fight. Sometimes you will have to fight with your faith. Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey give you strategies to win in the spiritual realm. Order this powerful 5-part series today for your love gift of $25 or more. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for How to Fight with Your Faith.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.